Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we are very fortunate because Srila Prabhupada gave actually a very interesting class on this verse. And the class is entitled, Why One of Krishna's GBCs Became Shudra? So, Prabhupada always makes it very relevant to our case. That was his genius, at least part of it, that he made these ancient texts very relevant to our present circumstances. And so, it's quite a lengthy, I mean, relatively lengthy purport, more than a page. So I suggest that when we read it, we can stop and discuss different parts of it. In this way, it might be easier digestible. And easier to follow. Prabhupada did that himself. He was not reading the whole purport at one go. Normally he would stop at certain points to elaborate on certain parts. So, translation. As long as Vidura played the part of a Shudra being cursed by Manduka Muni, Aryama officiated at the post of Yamaraj to punish those who committed sinful acts. Purport. Vidura, born in the womb of a Shudra woman, was forbidden even to be a party of royal heritage along with his brothers Dhritarashtra and Pandu. Then how could he occupy the post of a preacher to instruct such learned kings and kshatriyas as Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Yudhishthir? So it's quite interesting statement in here. Prabhupada includes Dhritarashtra into the category of learned kings, even though Dhritarashtra was so attached to be in his position, and he had many problems. As Prabhupada says, he was blind, not only physically, but also spiritually blind. That's why he supported Duryodhana with his atrocities against Pandavas. And so it's interesting why he is defined as learned king. Well, one explanation is that if you read Mahabharata, one of the first chapters is Dhritarashtra's Lamentation, I think it is called, wherein Dhritarashtra remembers different episodes which happened before the battle of Kurukshetra took place and during the battle as well. And he tells Vidura, when I saw such and such thing, when I heard that Pandavas were meant to be burnt in a house of black, and then they escaped without any harm. So already then I knew that there is no hope for victory. When I heard that Pandavas were in exile, but then they came back with a huge army, already then I knew that there is no hope for victory. So the entire chapter goes like that. So many episodes Dhritarashtra reflects upon. And he tells Vidura that I knew all along that we have no hope for victory. So it's very interesting. He was kind of affected by his attachment, but in the heart of hearts he knew that nothing good will come out of it. And so, yeah, he had knowledge, but he was lacking character to actually follow this knowledge in his life. And we know that even though Vidura was born of a Shudra mother, that's why he was considered to be Shudra. But anyone remembers whose Vidura father was? Srila Vyasadev. I mean, talking about Brahmanas. You cannot imagine greater Brahmana than Srila Vyasadev, the compiler of entire Vedic literature. So, despite of the mother's low position, he had very exalted heritage from his father's side. So, he was not exactly a Shudra, you can say. So, he was quite exalted, even by his birth. And, of course, the very name Vidura is self-explanatory as well. What is the meaning of the name Vidura? Intelligent, wise, learned. So these are the translations of the word Vidura, of the name Vidura. And normally, one's name is pretty accurately describes one's character. Like Duryodhana, right? He's describing his character. Dur means difficult. Right? Difficult. Difficult warrior. So he was very difficult personality, etc. So, or Dur also means misbehaved. So difficult, misbehaved. So that was his character. So Vidura was wisdom personified. And it's very rare. We know by experience that in this world there are very few people who are actually wise, because mostly people are otherwise. And so, because Vidura was such a rare personality, Dhritarashtra made him into his prime minister. And so he was personal advisor to the king. Very high position. Funny enough, even though Dhritarashtra didn't listen much to the advices of Vidura, but at least he had him next to him. So I guess that was kind of consoling him. Okay, at least Vidura is nearby. So, yeah, he was highly appreciated by everyone. And now he comes back to help Dhritarashtra to achieve perfection, which we will hear in later verses. So, how Vidura could occupy the post of a preacher? Prabhupada poses this question here. And he explains, the first answer is that even though it is accepted that he was a Shudra by birth, because he renounced the world for spiritual enlightenment by the authority of Rishi Maitreya and was thoroughly educated by him in transcendental knowledge, he was quite competent to occupy the post of an acharya or spiritual preceptor. So, again, according to Vedic principles, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishta Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that everyone is divided into four classes by two characteristics, right? First characteristic is guna. What is guna? qualities, and karma, activities. Right? So these are the primary characteristics by which one's personality can be judged, by qualities and activities. And interestingly enough, Krishna never says janma, right, in this regard, in regard to one's position in the society. Janma is not important. Guna and karma are important. That's why the fact that he was born not in a Brahmana or Kshatriya family, well, that he didn't have pure lineage didn't really matter, because he had qualities and his activities were perfectly matching his qualities. He was guide, he was instructor all the way through. So, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone who is conversant in the transcendental knowledge or the science of Godhead, be he a Brahmana or a Shudra, a householder or a sannyasi, is eligible to become a spiritual master. And of course, Srila Prabhupada quotes a very famous verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita here, which was spoken in the conversation with Ramananda Rai. And what the Bengali says, Kiba, Vipra, Kiba, Nyasi, Shudra, Kene, Nai, Jai, Krishna, Tattva, Veti, Sei, Guru, Hai. So it doesn't matter what is one's position, whether one is Shudra or Sannyasi or Brahmana, Vipra. If someone knows the science of Krishna, then one is eligible to be a guru. And so this is the basis upon which Srila Prabhupada started his whole movement. Because he didn't come to the Western world looking for Brahmanas by birth. There are very few in here, but he was looking for people interested in Krishna consciousness. And he believed that these people will be able to change the world, to make it Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada continues, even in the ordinary moral codes maintained by Chanakya Pandit, the great politician and moralist, there is no harm in taking lessons from a person who may be by birth less than a Shudra. So Chanakya Pandit says that even if Vaishnava comes from very low family, but he knows the science of Krishna, he has to be accepted as a guru. And that comes in the same verse which says that the gold has to be picked up even from the dirty place, because gold doesn't lose its value, right? And qualified girl should be accepted as a wife even if she comes from poor family. And someone has to be accepted as a Shudra if he knows the essence of Vedic knowledge and is a devotee. This is one part of the answer. The other is that Vidura was not actually a Shudra. He was to play the part of a so-called Shudra for 100 years, being cursed by Manduka Muni. He was the incarnation of Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans, on the level with such exalted personalities as Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kapila, Bhishma, Prahlad, etc. Being a Mahajan, it is the duty of Yamaraj to preach the cult of devotion to the people of the world, as Narada, Brahma and other Mahajans do. But Yamaraj is always busy in his plutonic kingdom punishing the doers of sinful acts. Yamaraj is deputed by the Lord to a particular planet, some hundreds of thousands of miles away from the planet of Earth, to take away the corrupt souls after death and convict them in accordance with their respective sinful activities. Thus, Yamaraj has very little time to take leave from his responsible office of punishing the wrongdoers. There are more wrongdoers than righteous men. Therefore, Yamaraj has to do more work than other demigods who are also authorized agents of the Supreme Lord. But he wanted to preach the glories of the Lord, and therefore, by the will of the Lord, he was cursed by Manduka Muni to come into the world in the incarnation of Vidura and work very hard as a great devotee. Such a devotee is neither a Shudra nor a Brahmana. He is transcendental to such divisions of mundane society, just as the personality of Godhead assumes his incarnations as a hog, but he is never a hog nor a Brahma. He is above all mundane creatures. The Lord and his different authorized devotees sometimes have to play the role of many lower creatures to claim the conditioned souls, but both the Lord and his pure devotees are always in the transcendental position. When Yamaraj once incarnated himself as Vidura, his post was officiated by Aryama, one of the many sons of Kashyapa and Aditi. The Adityas are sons of Aditi, and there are 12 Adityas. Aryama is one of the 12 Adityas, and therefore it was quite possible for him to take charge of the office of Yamaraj during his 100 years absence in the form of Vidura. The conclusion is that Vidura was never a Shudra, but was greater than the purest type of Brahmana. So that's the ultimate answer to the question, how it was possible for Vidura to play such significant role, because he is very significant personality. And as he himself, in the form of Yamaraj, says, there are 12 Mahajans on universal level. Svayambhur, Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapilomanu, Pralada Janaka Bhishmo, Balir Vayasaki Vayam. So he says there are 12 special personalities. First one is Svayambhu. Who is Svayambhu? Self-born. Yes, Lord Brahma, he doesn't have any mundane father or mother, so he was born directly from the Lord, Svayambhu. Narada Muni. Shambhu. Who is Shambhu? Lord Shiva, Kumaras, 4 Kumaras included in that list, Kapiladev, Manu, specifically referring to Svayambhu Manu, the first son of Brahma, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishmadev, Bali Maharaj, Vyasaki, who is Vyasaki, son of Vyas, Shukadev Goswami, and then very humbly, at the very end, he says, Vayam. We are also included in that list. You know, devotees are very humble, even though he's recognized as the greatest personality on the universal scale, but he puts his name at the very end. He says, okay, these are all great personalities somehow. I'm also included there. And so, yes, that eventually it was Krishna's arrangement. And, of course, we know the story how Yamaraj was cursed, I suppose a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, when you read the very first text of this chapter in the Purport Srila Prabhupada, explains that story in details. It's second in the purport to the second chapter. The purport to the first chapter, when he was elaborating on the personality of Vidura. So he narrates the story. Once upon a time, the state police caught some thieves who had concealed themselves in a hermitage of Manduka Muni. The police constables, as usual, arrested all the thieves and Manduka Muni along with them. The magistrate specifically punished the Muni to death by being pierced with a lance. When he was just to be pierced, the news reached the king, and he at once stopped the act on consideration of his being great Muni. The king personally begged the Muni's pardon for the mistake of his men, and the saint at once went to Yamaraj, who prescribed the destiny of the living beings. Yamaraj, being questioned by the Muni, replied that the Muni in his childhood pierced an ant with a sharpened straw, and for that reason he was put into difficulty. The Muni thought it unwise on the part of Yamaraj that he was punished for his childish innocence, and thus the Muni cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra. And this Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj was known as Vidura, the Shudra brother of Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Pandu. So, this is the story. Actually, it's very interesting that Mahabharata narrates it a little bit differently, because it's explained there that Manduka Muni was actually pierced by the lance, but he survived. And then the king heard about it, and he came, and he was horrified to learn that it was such a great saint, you know, because he had mystic powers, he couldn't be killed by the lance. And then he apologized, but Manduka Muni, he said, it's actually not your fault, it's Yamaraj's fault. I'll take it with him. And so he went, and then he sorted Yamaraj. We can imagine, you know, such a great personality, capable of cursing Yamaraj. I mean, everyone's afraid of Yamaraj, but he was not afraid of even Yamaraj. He cursed Yamaraj to be born as Shudra. But, as Prabhupada explains, it's all Krishna's arrangement, curse. Because he's so busy with his job, and he has really dirty job, you know, dealing with all the sinful people. And I mean, you can imagine how difficult it is. No good association. Always seeing all these sinners. And then, because he's a great devotee, you can see that only great devotees, they can do this kind of services, right? And be unaffected by that. Like Yamaraj, he's dealing with all the sinners. Lord Shiva, he's dealing with all the fallen people and, you know, ghosts and hobgoblins and spirits and whatnot. And he's also not affected. And but then his desire was to preach, right? The glories of the Lord. And then Krishna makes the arrangement that he gets cursed and he gets released. You know, he goes for a vacation to the earth planet to preach 400 years, which is by Demigod's calculation, it's just a few weeks. And then he goes back to continue with his services. And so we can see that even the curse in the lives of the devotees is a blessing. For example, Narad Muni, another Mahajan, right? He was also cursed by Daksha, because Daksha was so upset by Narad Muni's making his sons into devotees rather than, you know, Prajapatis, upsetting his plans, and he said, I curse you not to be able to stay anywhere for longer than, I think, 3 days. And so Narad Muni was pretty happy with that curse. And so he keeps traveling. And Prabhupada says, the parents of my disciples also cursed me not be able to stay anywhere long enough Yeah, because, I mean, there were cases, as we know, that some devotees join the movement, but then parents become upset. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmananvan, Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki Jai. Because, you know, parents, they have their plans that their son or daughter gets education and, you know, becomes successful in the career, but then suddenly you join the ashram and then all these plans are ruined, right? So then the parents were not very happy, and so Prabhupada says, yeah, they cursed me, not be able to stay anywhere for too long. And so I have to travel all the time, but now I need a little downtime to finish the translations of the books. So I'll have to pass on this curse to some of my disciples. Let them travel and preach. I'll sit down and finish the books. And we know that since the curse is passed on, and many Prabhupada disciples, they continuously traveling and preaching, they cannot stop. Of course, coronavirus made everyone, you know, slowed everyone down, but otherwise, this is the situation. So we can see that even the curse is a blessing in the life of the devotee. So there is nothing inauspicious in devotees' lives. And even whether devotee lives or dies, Jeva ne marane gati aruna himor, that his life is dedicated to serving Krishna. Like the whole world is in panic at the moment, but devotees have nothing to worry about, right? If we live, we serve Krishna. If we die, we continue serving Krishna. It doesn't really matter for us. And so, of course, we don't want to expose ourselves unnecessarily to any risks, but if it happens, it happens. We don't have to worry about it too much. And it's like we know that one devotee left his body from the community, Manohar Krishna Brahma. So, I mean, from, you know, because we have Radha Gokulananda, Bhaktivedanta Manor is like Gokula Dham. So, from Gokula Dham into Goloka Dham. So, coronavirus becomes Karuna virus in devotee's life. So, it's also a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. Whatever happens to the devotee. And so, yeah, we can see that there are so many instances of devotees being cursed and having to go through external difficulties, but devotees are not worried about all this and they just use that for their advantage and to glorify the Lord. Like Vidura was kicked out of the palace by Duryodhan. And he said, leave him only with his life heirs. And, you know, just, I mean, he was basically kicked out without anything, right? And so he was not sorry about it. He was not frustrated by this loss because he was thinking, oh, great, I had to stay in all this bad association with all these demons. Now I'm relieved of that. And so what will I do? I'll just go on pilgrimage. And so he was going around all these holy places. And being a humble Vaishnava, he was thinking, I got contaminated by all this bad association. Because question comes, you know, how, why he went to pilgrimage to see the deities of the Lord. If the Lord was personally present in the place where he stayed. And so Prabhupada explains, because Vidura was feeling he's so contaminated by this bad association with Kauravas, he had to become purified by going around all these holy places. But unfortunately, when he was going around, the Kurukshetra battle happened, and so many personalities he knew already left this world, including Lord Sri Krishna. And so when he came, Lord was already absent. We can just imagine, you know, the condition of Vidura, that he learned about it while on pilgrimage, and so he came back just to save his brother Dhritarashtra. So, of course, it was also Krishna's mercy, because that helped Vidura to increase his love for the Supreme Lord, because love and separation is considered to be the topmost. So, and yeah, this is so many episodes in Vidura's life, in Yamaraja's life, which show that everything is very auspicious. Whatever happens in devotee's life is Krishna's mercy. And if we understand it, we can get topmost benefit from it. All right. Hare Krishna. So, any questions? Any? Yes, Prabhu.
Harishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. My question is regarding, as you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is the son of Yamaraj. So when Vidura was present there, Vidura was always very protective and caring of the Pandavas, but is there any instance where the father and son relationship gets highlighted and there's some special mercy or some flow of, you know, the father? Because even with Indra and Arjuna is there, Karna and Surya Dev is there, but and specifically Vidura and Yudhishthira, there's some pastimes like that or anything you can
Vidura speak? Yudhishthira, because Vidura is incarnation of Yamaraj and Yudhishthira is the father, is the son of Dharmaraj. So, yes. Well, definitely Vidura was caring after all the Pandavas, beginning with Maharaj Yudhishthira as a father, which they themselves admit. And that's why when Vidura came from the pilgrimage, actually Maharaj Yudhishthira was very happy, and he glorified Vidura as the traveling place of pilgrimage. Bhavat Vito Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vipo Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Gantastena Gadavrita. He says devotees like you are just walking places for pilgrimage, because you always carry the Supreme Lord in your heart. That's why anywhere you go, that place turns into holy place of pilgrimage, right? So yes, Vidura, Yudhishthira had great attachment to Vidura, and their relationships, as even manifested in this chapter, are very, very intimate and very sweet. Yeah, but I don't recall any episode when Yudhishthira would actually realize that this is his father.